All right, thank you for being back tonight to hear part two of this lesson. I appreciate Brad being willing to let me finish the lesson tonight, so I do appreciate that. At least help me keep the same stream of thought. This morning, as we finished up, I concluded this morning with the idea that when we're talking about being devoted to fellowship, that is something that is not a passive thing for us. It's not something that we can just show up and somehow acquire. It's much more than that. And each of us individually must decide to do work. We must decide to do something to be devoted to as far as these things that are mentioned in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. And so being devoted to something means in the least that we do work or activity, something that would strengthen those things in our lives. And so that requires us to do something. And when we're devoted to a person, if we're devoted to someone, then we're going to do certain things. We're going to maybe say certain things that will help build up that relationship. We're going to say encouraging things to them to build that relationship. Sometimes we will tell them the truth, but we will do it in a way that will still teach them and build them up. That's especially true in parenting, is that, yes, sometimes we have to tell our kids the truth, but there's ways that we can do that will still build them up as we train them. If we're devoted to someone, we're going to spend some time with them. Now, sometimes geography plays a role in that. We can't always do it face-to-face, but there's ways for us to spend time with people who we are devoted to, who we have relationships with. And we invest in their lives. And, you know, as much as possible, you know, we try, I think, as Christians to do more than just lip service and tell people that we love them. One of the things that I think God wants us to do is not just say that we love people, but we actually show up for them. We involve ourselves and invest in their lives, and that requires sometimes travel. It requires work. It requires us sacrificing things in order to be a part of their lives, invest in the things that they're interested in, and we do that. And we try to show people that we care about them. We invest in them. But that requires a lot of work on our part to do that. Those of us who are parents, we are devoted to our children. So we try to give them opportunities. We try to teach them through those opportunities. We try to make sure that our children learn to love God for themselves. We try to build that foundation so that they will love God for themselves. We shove some things aside that we might want to do, and that's what parenthood is you basically sacrifice things that you used to do or you want to do, maybe, and you devote yourself to spending moments with your children, because those moments all add up, and you try to find as many moments as you can. But we'll rearrange our schedules, we'll make sacrifices for our children, and the reason we do that is because we're devoted to them, and not just in sports and not just in school, but we devote ourselves also to trying to through all of those things in our interactions, teach them about the Lord and to love Him. Because we're devoted to them, there's a level of devotion that we have to them, or we should have toward them. But the Bible says that in Acts chapter 2, one of the things we have to be devoted to is fellowship. So the real question we have to ask ourselves then is, are we really devoted to that? If we think about what devotion looks like in other areas of our lives, are we devoted then to the people here at Oak Grove? How are we devoted to them? Do we, just through the course of the week, do we reach out to them? Do we communicate with our brethren? Do we show and do things to show that we care about them? Do we look in on them? Do we maybe sacrifice some of our time or our money? How do we show them that we're devoted to them in different ways? And how do we do that? Because really, when we're talking about fellowship, we're talking about sharing. Well, do we ever share in anything? And we're real thankful that we have elders here that invite us into their homes, and we do share things together. Now, we go and we have meals together, we share in other works together, we have opportunities to do that, and we have lots of ways to do that here at Oak Grove. How much do we do that when the opportunities are there to bond with people, to make connections with people, to share in things together? A few months ago, and it's probably been more months than I can even remember, but Mike Simpson needed some work done. And so some of us went over there and we did some work for Mike. The best part of that wasn't even that we got to do that and help him and to serve him that way. The best part of it was that there were a few of us there that we shared in that together. And the more we do that, we will find ways to connect and bond and grow, not just with the person that we're serving, but with each other as we serve. And so as many opportunities as we get to do that, we should take advantage of and show a connection with each other. So how much time do we spend devoting ourselves to the relationships of our brothers and sisters in Christ? And some of us might be better at that, or it might be easier for us. But I think what God teaches us in Acts chapter 2 is that the early church, even in its infancy, even in its very beginning, you had people there who were devoted to those bonds and strengthening them and doing things that strengthen their bonds together. Over the last few months, Indiana football has kind of been in the spotlight. And in college football, if you've kept up with it at all, maybe you haven't, but they got this coach from this little school and came to Indiana and just within a short period of time turned them into a national champion. And this year they went undefeated. They didn't lose a game. They were undefeated, won a national championship, beat all the big schools, and it's quite an underdog story. And of course, everybody loves an underdog story. And so people gravitate to that. But as a coach, I know firsthand of all the effort that it took to get to the point where they can win a championship. And a lot of that is little bitty things that happened over the course of time that nobody would ever see. But do you know what everybody wants to do now? Because they had that success? Everybody wants to figure out, how did they do that? What are they doing behind the scenes? What are they doing in the locker room? What are they doing in their building? What are their coaches doing teaching? What skills are they teaching? Everybody dissects that now because they want to emulate that, because they want that type of success. Now, that's just a worldly thing. That's just a sport thing. But sports and businesses and jobs and markets and all people all over the place, they spend millions and millions and millions of dollars to try to figure that out, how to create bonds between people in a certain job or market where they'll be cohesive and have success. They try to do it all the time. They try to get people on the same page. And they know, though, that if they don't have those strengths, those connections, those bonds, that sharing, that communion, that most of the time it leads to some sort of disaster for them. It's not good for their business. It's not good for their teams. So they spend lots of money to try to figure all of that out. But that is what these first century Christians were devoted to, was figuring that stuff out and devoting themselves to a fellowship with each other, pulling each other closer together. And I'll say that again, pulling each other closer together. I want you to turn to the book of Hebrews. And as you're turning to the book of Hebrews is about the superiority of Christ, the whole book, from the beginning of it to the end of it. If there's a theme of the book of Hebrews, we know this, that it's about the superiority of Christ over this and that and this and that. And you go throughout the entire book and it shows Christ is superior to all these other things. The law, angels, the way the gospel message was given, Christ is superior to all of them. And he's better. That's the main message throughout the book of Hebrews. However, there is another repeated theme in the book of Hebrews. And it's a sad theme, because the repeated theme other than the superiority of Christ in the book of Hebrews is that there were some Christians who were to the point that they were going to go back, that they were going to fall away from the gospel of Christ, go back to something else, and lose it all. And so throughout the entire book, there's these warnings to these Christians about not falling away, not giving up, persevering through all of this hard stuff. Now, the Bible tells us in Hebrews that they hadn't yet resisted to bloodshed. It hadn't got that far yet. But there were some hard things going on for them, and they were in danger of falling away and losing it all. In Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12, it says this. It says, "Take care, brothers and sisters, that there will not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God." He is telling the Hebrews, do not let an unbelieving heart develop inside of you. Don't let that type of heart develop inside of you. Because if you do, it will cause you to fall away from God. It will cause you to fall away from God. Notice the next verse. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13. But notice what he says. But encourage one another every day, as long as it is called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we keep the beginning of our commitment firm to the end. Some translations say it a little different at the very beginning, but encourage one another every day. Daily do this. Encourage one another. You see, the stakes are high. The stakes are very high. The writer of Hebrews understood how high the stakes were. And he tells them what to do because the stakes are so high. If you fall away, you will not go to heaven. You will not go to heaven. Just like they didn't get to enter their land of rest, the Israelites didn't. If you fall away, you will not get your eternal reward. You will not get that eternal rest. So the writer of Hebrews tells them to encourage one another every day. Wow. Man, I fall short there. Goodness. Man, that's hard. Do I encourage one of you every day? I'm sorry, I don't. I need to. We're taught, maybe not intentionally, but oftentimes we're taught to rely upon ourselves. I can do this. I can do it just by myself. I'm good. And that's right. I believe to a certain degree, if you won't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. So yeah, we got to stand up on our own sometimes, right? Even if we stand alone. That's true. But the Hebrew writer tells us that the relationship that we have with each other is a relationship that will help us keep from falling away. It is a relationship that will keep us from going to hell. If we read the New Testament, I believe that God intends for our relationships together to be a big part in our fight in this war. It's a big part of our fight in this war against Satan. And it's not just a big part. It's a vital part for each of us in order to win this war in this world. If you're sitting here today and you may be thinking, I don't need anyone to help me with my salvation. I'll make sure my calling and election is sure, but I don't need any help in this. That might be a problem. I get it. But it might be a big problem. I think we should feel the need to be encouraged. We should feel the need to be encouraged. Just like we should feel the need to encourage. And if you can do without your brethren, what you're really saying is, I can do without what God says I need. And I need to be encouraged. And you need to be encouraged. A spirit that says, I don't need my brethren, I believe is a dangerous spirit to have. It's saying, God, I know you tell me I need that, but I don't really need that. It's a spirit that says, we don't need to be devoted to fellowship. And it's a spirit that won't look to be devoted to be in fellowship with others in itself. God says we need encouragement. God says we need to encourage each other. God says in the book of Hebrews that this is a way that we can keep from falling away. God says this is how we help each other not go to hell. And you see that, don't you? In these verses that we read in chapter 3, there is a very big sense of urgency. He says, while it is called today, every day, while it's called today, encourage your brethren. Day by day, while you still have time to encourage each other, encourage each other. You see, we have a limited amount of time to encourage each other. And we don't know what our days will be or when our days are numbered. So we have a limited time in which to encourage each other to fight the fight a little bit better. The same urgency that we should have to put away sin in our lives and stay in fellowship with God, 1 John chapter 1, is the exact same sense of urgency we ought to have to encourage each other. It ought to be the same. We need to be devoted to encouraging our brothers and sisters in Christ as much as possible. God says we need it, and God says we need to do it. In these verses, he also gives us an idea about the deceitfulness of sin. Sin is very deceitful, and Satan will try to deceive us in any way that he can. He'll try to lie to us about sin, and he'll make it look good, and he'll shiny it up a little bit for us, so we'll fall for it. Satan's trying to tell us that a thing that is bad is worth more to you than what God is. And he's trying to get us to do those things. And a few chapters after this, we have Hebrews chapter 11, this great chapter for us. Moses had the riches and power of Egypt. The pool of that riches are better than suffering. That's what Satan wanted him to believe, that those riches are worth more than your suffering for God. Satan is trying to convince us that this thing over here is better. This thing over here is better than what God has to offer. It's worth more. Or even you can have both of them. And he'll lie to us about it. But how often do I hear that lie? That this thing over here is worth more and it's better and more important than what God has to say over here. How often do we hear it every day? I suggest that we hear it each day, all day, every day, that the things over here of Satan's, he wants you to think they're worth more than what God has to offer. And we're bombarded with that lie every single day. And if you're bombarded with it and I'm bombarded with it, how much more do I need you to tell me what the truth is every single day? We should remind each other often about the truth of God's word and his promises. That is in this context too. An urgency to tell each other the truth while there is time to tell each other the truth. How often should we remind each other of God's promises? How often should we remind each other of the dangerousness of sin? How often? Can we do it too much? I don't know. We're told lies on the internet, on TV, on our computers, on our phones. We're bombarded by it every day. If you're at school, you're bombarded by it by your classmates and other people that you're around. You're bombarded by it all day, every day. How often do we tell each other the truth? You know, when we get sick, we take medicine, right? I've been sick a little bit over the last couple weeks, and I'm not a medicine person. That's why Heather gets frustrated with me often. She's like, well, you're sick, take some medicine. Well, I don't want to take any medicine, right? We get sick, we take medicine, though. Some people do. When we start getting spiritually sick, we need medicine. And if we're spiritually sick right now, there's things in our lives that we've let in and we're sick right now, we need medicine. We need the truth of God's word. You know, sometimes we take medicine to prevent us from getting sick, right? We take it beforehand. Well, how often do we do that and put the word of God in our hearts? How often is enough time to put the medicine in our hearts so when we get bombarded by the poison and all the awful stuff that we don't get sick from it? We push it away. How often do we do that? God's ways and God's voice are medicine for us. Whether it's in scripture or song, whether it's in prayers together, whether it's in words of encouragement, it is medicine for us. And we need to be giving it to each other as often as we can. We need to be encouraged on the days when we feel low. We need to be encouraged on the days where we feel good. We need to be encouraged. We need to be encouraged. We need to be encouraged as much as possible. And I'll suggest that even we need to be encouraged on days when we're feeling good. You know, when they do heart transplants, if you've studied heart transplants, it's quite an amazing thing to be able to take someone else's heart and to take one out of a body and put it back together and get it to work correctly and all of that stuff. It's just an amazing feat of human technology. But a lot of times when people get a new heart, they have to take medicine. And some of them have to take it every single day. And they have to do that because they have to keep their own human body from rejecting an organ that belonged to someone else, right? You know, as Christians, when we obey the gospel and we transform our hearts and we renew our minds and we become God's and we become Christ and we're given this new heart, think about that. God has given us each other to share the truth and encouragement with each other so that we will keep our hearts devoted to Him. You know, we've had heart transplants too, haven't we? I know my heart is a lot different type of heart now than what it was before I was a Christian. And God gives us this new heart that wants to serve Him. And there's all this bad stuff around us. And our encouragement to each other is medicine. The Word of God is medicine. Our encouragement, our prayers are medicine to help us keep our hearts fully devoted to Him. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29, it says it this way. Let no unwholesome word come out of your mouth, but if there is any good word for edification according to the need of that moment, say that, so it will give grace to those who hear. I need to train my mind better so that when I look at my brothers and sisters in Christ, I need to train myself to think, what can I say and what can I do to help them get to heaven? I need to train myself to think that way. What can I do? What can I say to help them get to heaven? Sometimes it will be encouragement. Sometimes it will be praying with them. Some days it may be teaching them. But all days it will be with the intent to help get them to heaven. And you know, some days it might not even come from you. You know, maybe sometimes you just don't know what to say. And maybe you know so-and-so has a better relationship or so-and-so says things just a little better than you do. And it's not gossip to say, hey, brother, I know so-and-so is struggling and I don't really know what to say to them. Can you call them? Can you encourage them? Can you visit them? And we could use each other to strengthen each other. I think this is what fellowship is about. It's strengthening each other, encouraging each other every day. Every day, and as much as possible, so that we can all get to heaven. In Hebrews chapter 11, our fellowship together sounds like this, verse 24. And let's consider how to encourage one another in love and good deeds, not abandoning our own meeting together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. The urgency is in this verse too. All the more as you see the day drawing near. Let us consider how to encourage one another in love and good deeds. Considering that is part of being devoted to the fellowship. It's part of, I think, what they were devoted to on a daily basis of encouraging one another. Maybe you are like me. There's even days when you come here to this place and we go through the whole service, we go through being together on the Lord's Day, and my thoughts and my considerations aren't on how I can encourage my brethren to get to heaven. But we can all work on that, and we can all do better. I can do better. Maybe some days we're just focused on too many other things, too many other cares. In Matthew chapter 13, I want to read the first part of the parable of the sower and the explanation that he gives here. Notice in verse 18, Matthew chapter 13 and verse 18. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his what? In his heart. This is the one on whom the seed was sown beside the road, the one on whom the seed was sown on the rocky places. This is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. It has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when the affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. And the one on whom the seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And the one on whom seed was sown on the good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. You know, when I read that section of Scripture, and I think about the idea of fellowship and our participation in this battle together, I think about how many of those souls could be saved if they had brethren who were devoted to fellowship. Because if you look at this, it says the word is given to them, and then the word comes, and it's not got a deep root, and it gets snatched away. Well, where was that brother when all that was happening? Where's the brother or sister when all that was happening? Then you go on down. The seed was sown on the rocky places. The man who hears the word, has it with joy, doesn't have a firm root. It's only there for a little bit. And then persecution comes. And then what happens? Satan gets it. Where were their brethren when that happened? When the persecution's there, where were the brethren? Where was I? Where were you? And then the next one. Seed is sown among the thorns. Man who hears the word and the worry of the world, deceitfulness of riches and all the stuff. And Satan comes and chokes it out. Where were their brethren? Where was I? Where were you? Where were we at? What were we doing? What were we thinking? We're a family. We're a band of brothers and sisters. And we have fellowship with the God of this whole universe. But He asked us to be devoted to some things that will help each other get to heaven. We need to be devoted to them as much as we can. We're not judges over each other. We're not that. There's time for judgment and righteous judgment. I'm very thankful we have elders who are qualified men, that when those tough things need to be said and get said, that they can help us with that. They're equipped to do that. They're equipped for rebuke when it's needed and hard things when it's needed. But we need to be careful to not start there and not begin there. There's a preventative way to do this too. We're going to talk about that in the next lesson, Lord willing. How we can teach and prevent some things from happening. So there's never a need for us to withdraw our fellowship and to step away from someone else. But being devoted to fellowship is being devoted to one another. It's considering one another. Figuring out how to help and encourage one another. And what that looks like for one person might be different than what it looks like for another person. What one person needs might be different than what another person needs. It might look different sometimes, and it might sound different. But I do believe this, that whatever needs to be said to each other at times will come far more easily if we're continuously devoted to each other all the time. When those hard things need to be said, they'll be easier to say, because we're continuously devoted on building up our relationships together. And we'll learn how to talk to each other, and we'll learn how to listen to each other. We'll learn how to stay in our place. We'll learn how to take a stance when we need to. And we'll share in all of these things and try to help each other get to heaven. We'll get into fellowship more as we go forward. But I want to encourage each of us to think about biblical fellowship and go and study the book of Hebrews and think about how urgent it is for each of us not just to be encouraged and allow people to encourage us, but also how important it is to give it to each other and devote ourselves a little bit better this week. Take the fellowship that we have in Christ and work diligently this week to find some way to encourage someone else in this room. There's lots of ways we can do that. We can think that through. We can ask for help. We can figure out ways to do all of that. And I think if we develop ourselves a little bit more each and every day, that we can be devoted to the things God wants us to be devoted to. We can be devoted to each other. The body of Christ here can strengthen and grow. And ultimately, the goal is for each and every one of us to get to heaven. That's every single person in this room. God wants that. I think all of us want that. But there's ways that we can help each other do it and be devoted to fellowship. If you're here tonight and you need to answer God's call to be baptized for the remission of your sins, we give you a song to do that. Maybe you're here tonight and you need strength and you need encouragement. We can offer that for you. We can pray for you. We can pray with you. Maybe it's not something you want to come forward and ask for or get help with. Maybe it's something you want to take care of at another time. But please do it. If you need help, if you need encouragement, seek out advice from men who've been there and women who've been there and who can help you and pray for you and pray with you. Maybe that's something that you need right now and you want us to do that for you. We can do that as well. Our goal, brethren, is to get to heaven. And there's things we have to be devoted to get there. One of those things we need to be really mindful of is how much encouragement can we give each other. I don't know that we can give each other too much. I don't think we can give each other too much encouragement. So think about these things this week as we all try to get to heaven. Please come forward if you have any need while we stand and sing.